This evening, as we continue our study about being thankful, we want to continue looking at some of the spiritual blessings that God has given to us. And we've noted before that it's really impossible for us to look at every possible blessing that the Lord gives us. And last week, when we were starting to look at these spiritual blessings to be thankful for, we saw in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 that we have been given all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what's available in Christ and only in Christ. But with when we are in Him, we do have all spiritual blessings from God. And we know in James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. So God is the source of all of these blessings, and we do need to consider them and be thankful for each and every one of them that the Lord does give to us. But we want to consider right now particularly one another, and being thankful to God for each other. We all have a very important role in the work of the Lord for each other. In Ephesians chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The Lord has that particular job for us to do for each other, to exhort one another daily. We need that encouragement from one another. It helps protect us from falling away from the Lord and departing from Him and having an evil heart of unbelief. We are used by God to protect each other from being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, when we are doing that, are we thankful for one another? Are we thankful for those that are able to provide that exhortation and encouragement for us? If we didn't have each other, we can consider what the Lord is saying there, what is liable to happen to each and every one of us. So we need to be thankful for each other in that respect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he shows us how the church is the spiritual body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the members. We are members of Him. We are members of the body. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14, that the body is not one member, but many. And he says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Well, according to what God is saying there, who has arranged all of the members in the congregation? Well, that would apply to here too. I mean, this is God's work. He's the one that has put us together. And He has an important role for each and every one of us. Even the most feeble one, what does He say, is necessary. Well, we have that function of the body. Is there any part of our physical bodies that we would feel okay about giving up? Or do we want to keep all our parts? Well, I think we all do. And we're thankful that when things are working right for us physically, we considered that before in our study too. But, well, what about spiritually when God has given each member of the body for the proper functioning of the body? Are we thankful for all the other members of the body and what God is doing with them to help the church as a whole to function properly? And then we have the overall goal of that expressed in Ephesians chapter 4 when the Lord is teaching there why He has given all of these different parts in the body and each member. So in Ephesians chapter 4, we start reading here in verse 11. We'll read 11 to 16. He says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Well, would it be possible for God's purpose that he's teaching here to be achieved without each one, without each member of the body? He mentions some of the specific offices that God created, and some of those were temporarily while the church was in its infancy until God's revelation of the New Testament was completed. We don't have apostles among us today. We do have the teachings and the examples of those original apostles that the Lord primarily used to inspire the New Testament through. And we also have their examples, their witness preserved and recorded, and God bore witness to them with all those miracles to prove that this is his word. So we have all of that for us. We also don't have prophets today in the sense of those directly inspired with God's word. We don't need that. We have the inspired word of God right here. The chapter, a couple of chapters before chapter 4 here in Ephesians, at the very end of chapter 2, he spoke about the foundation of the church being of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Well, those apostles and prophets that we have their teachings and examples from, I mean, that was given for a purpose. We still have evangelists. We still have those pastors, those ones who are shepherding the flock, the elders of the church, and teachers. So we do have some of those today. But he's not just talking about those ones that we might consider or recognize to be in positions of leadership in the Lord's church. He mentions there in verse 16 three different ways every member of the body, when he speaks of the whole body being fitly joined together, when he speaks of every joint supplying and the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every member is necessary for the increasing of the body unto edifying of itself in love. So every member is necessary in that role of building up, edifying the body of Christ in the love of God. To what point? Till we all come, he says in verse 13, till we all come to that unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, till we grow to completion spiritually, to that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, how are we going to get there to reach that goal if we don't have each other? He mentions in verse 14, just like we were seeing in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13 a moment ago, what's going to happen if we don't have each other building each other up? Well, there again, we would remain spiritually in babyhood. We wouldn't be growing like we need to, like God desires for us to, if we didn't have each other. And then we would still be in a position liable to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and being deceived by men. So we could be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, we see how we're all necessary to help each other, to protect each other from sin, but also to build each other up in the love of God so that we can all grow to reach that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be like him. So there's the Lord's work with us. Are we thankful for each other in that? Because without each other, we couldn't do these things. Well, that's something we need to think about. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12, he says there that no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Well, there he's speaking about the parts of God's love, and we need all of those parts in us. That's what spiritual completion is, but we need to be complete in the love of God. I think we all remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he speaks about God's love and its parts, and God's love suffers long. It is kind. He mentions several things there that God's love is, as well as things that God's love is not. Doesn't envy, doesn't vaunt itself, is not puffed up, and all of those other things that he mentions in 1 Corinthians 13. So there are things he says that God's love, parts that it has and parts that are not of his love. Well, we need to have all those things that are of his love, all the parts, and nothing additional, nothing that God's love is not. Well, how are we going to grow in those things? Well, when we consider the different parts of God's love, when we think of things like long-suffering or kindness that he mentions there in 1 Corinthians 13, forbearance, forgiveness, patience, all of those kinds of things, compassion, gentleness, and meekness. Well, which of those things can we develop or put into practice without having somebody else? I mean, who are we going to show compassion to? Who are we going to show kindness to? Who are we going to be showing forbearance towards? Who are we going to forgive? Who are we going to do any of these things if we don't have somebody else? Can I do those things by myself? Can you? Or do we need each other? We do require each other. And that's why he says, if we love one another, if we are practicing God's love on one another, towards one another, we're going to grow more in that. He says, if we do that, then his love will be perfected in us. That is not separate from what he says in chapter 2 of the same book, 1 John 2 and verse 5, when he says, if we keep his word in us, will verily be the love of God perfected. Well, what is the essence of his word, his commandments? What is the new commandment that Christ gives? For us to love one another as he has loved us. So to keep his word and to love one another, that goes together. And that's what we have to do to reach that perfect man of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, we see how we need each other for that. So we have lots of passages of Scripture that show the necessity of each one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need to be thankful for each other for that. We have some examples of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 28, verses 14 and 15. When he was a prisoner and had already been a prisoner at this point for over 2 years, where he was held prisoner in Caesarea, he was originally put in bonds for his own protection from his fellow Jews, his countrymen that were trying to kill him at the temple, falsely accusing him of having taken a Gentile, Trophimus, who was an Ephesian, a Gentile, into the temple, which he had not done. But they were going to kill him right there. So the Romans took him, but now he had been a prisoner for 2 years, and had appealed to Caesar, so he had been put on a ship to be sent to Rome. Well, en route, the ship wrecked. He ended up on the island of Melita, which is Malta today, and he was there, and then eventually, another ship, took him, transported him over to Italy, and then he made his way overland to Rome. And then he was there in as a prisoner for 2 more years. Well, during this time when Paul was a prisoner in bonds for his faith in Christ, not having done anything wrong, as he'd been through so much hardship, 2 years in prison and now a shipwreck, as he gets near Rome in Acts 28, brethren meet him there. What effect did that have on Paul? Verses 14 and 15 of Acts 28 says, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So was Paul thankful for his brethren? And he was encouraged by them. So he took that courage from his brethren, and he thanked God for that. Well, we need to have that same mind that the Apostle Paul did. Let's turn to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And here he's actually singling out a lot of the women in the church at this time, in this letter to the church at Rome. In Romans 16, 1 to 4, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Sentry, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And of those in the next couple of verses, he mentions some others. But almost all of those that he mentions there, with the exception of Aquila, are women in that section of Romans 16. But they were very, very busy and diligent in helping to encourage those brethren who were preaching the gospel, and they were assisting them and taking care of their physical needs. And what did Paul think of those sisters in Christ that he had that helped him in his work in that way? Even risking their own lives to do that. Well, he gave thanks to God for them, and all the brethren were thankful to have them. Well, there again we see the Lord being Paul being thankful for his brothers and his sisters in Christ, and the way in which the Lord was using them to help him, encourage him, strengthen him, and enable him to do the work of the Lord. So we need to be thankful for one another in the same way, in all these different ways in which God uses us to help one another. And we need to be seeking to help one another so that others have reason to be thankful for us too. Well, we also should be thankful for those that the Lord brings into his body, those that are converted to him. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 2, 1. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, he goes on to speak from there about including the ones that are in authority, but he tells us to be thankful to God for all men. Well, are we thankful to God for even those ones who are not our brethren? Well, we were just particularly focusing our attention on being thankful for one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But what about those that are in the world? Well, they need to hear the gospel of Christ. They also need to see the light that we can shine, that the Lord can shine unto them using us. We're to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Well, do we have anybody to show light to be salt for? And are we thankful for those ones that God gives us that opportunity to do that for? We should be. He tells us to be, commands us to be. In Romans chapter 6, if we turn there, Romans chapter 6, there in verses 17 and 18, he says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So there were certain ones then, as there are now, that do hear that gospel preached. They ask a reason of the hope that is in the Christians that they know. They want to learn more. They hear that truth, and they're converted to Christ. Obviously, from what the Lord tells us in his word, few there be that find it. We would that there were many, many more. We need to pray that there would be more, but we need to be ready to do the work that God gives us to do to spread his gospel to those who are outside of Christ and lost. But when those ones that do hear it respond and are converted to him, that is something that brings joy in heaven. We read that in Luke 15. That should give us great joy, and we should be thankful. As Paul was thanking the Lord for these ones who did obey his gospel from their hearts, that was delivered to them. And we need to be thankful for the souls that the Lord brings to him that way. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in, also in you that believe. So here were brethren, these were ones that were converted on Paul's second missionary journey when he went to Thessalonica. But how did Paul feel about these ones who had turned from idolatry, which is what he speaks about at the end of chapter 1 and verse 9, how they had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Well, they heard the gospel and they received it as it is in truth, the word of God, not the word of men. Well, how did Paul respond to these ones that did that? He says he was thanking God without ceasing for them. And we need to also be like that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, writing to these same brethren, in verses 1 and 2, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Is Satan going to try to hinder the preaching of the gospel and its spread to those that are lost? He will. We need to pray that it would have free course, and those that are hindering, that hindrance would be overcome. And we need to pray about that. But when the Lord does enable His Word to go forth and have free course and accomplish its purpose, and that good is produced, we need to be thankful for that. And I know we've all here in this congregation had occasion here recently to be very thankful for some who've been added to the body here this calendar year in the last, within the last few weeks. Very encouraging when we have others added to our number as they are brought into Christ, and we need to be thankful for them and also be seeking for others that they would be able to be added to the body. But what happens with those who are added to the body? At that point, what are they? We're born again of water and of the Spirit, as He teaches in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Well, when you're born, what are you? Of course, you're a baby. And we've already been reading just a while ago in Ephesians 4, verse 15. It's God's will that we henceforth be no more children. And that is the word for baby. The Lord doesn't want us to remain spiritual babies. So we should be thankful for those who are born again. But they, when they are born again, God has a purpose for them to grow spiritually. And we've already seen how we need to be involved in that work of helping each other to grow spiritually. Well, as we grow ourselves, are we thankful for that? Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Again, we see the Apostle Paul. He was very thankful to God for a growth that God produced in his heart and mind. In Romans chapter 7, 24 and 25, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So he was thankful to God for that growth that he had, as he was then able more and more to do the will of God and keep His Word. James chapter 1, if we turn there, verses 2 through 7, we need to be joyful even when we fall into temptation, knowing its purpose and how God is using those temptations, those tribulations and trials on our faith to enable us to grow spiritually. We need to be joyful in that, with that understanding and knowledge. And then we also need to ask Him for the wisdom we need in our growth. But we need to do that without doubting. Let's read James chapter 1, 2 through 7. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Well, we need to be asking the Lord to provide what we need to grow, and we need to be asking in faith, and we need to be joyful and thankful for the situations that the Lord gives us so that we can grow spiritually. That for ourselves, but also for others. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we read verses 1 and 2 a moment ago. Well, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and look at verse 5, where he says, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Well, what is God's work? His work is to direct our hearts into His love. Well, are we thankful for God's work in doing that, directing all of our hearts into His love? We need to let Him direct our hearts into His love. But as He's doing that with each other, we need to be thankful, not just for how God is helping us to grow ourselves, but also as He is directing the hearts of our brethren into His love so that they grow more. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Romans 1 and verse 8. "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." So was Paul thankful for the growth and the faith of his brethren there in Rome? He very much was thankful for them and how they had grown. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we see how Paul was thankful to God for his brethren there in Philippi, in Macedonia particularly, and how God had used them, but how they were growing. And he expressed his confidence that that work, their growth, would produce that fruit, and God would carry it forth to the end and fulfill his purpose for them. But he was thankful for all of that that God was doing in them. Back to the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." So here they were growing in their faith, and their love was abounding towards each other. And what was Paul's response or reaction to that? He was thankful to God for that growth that they had in them. So we all have a role to help each other to grow. And as God is doing that, we need to be thankful for each other, for how the Lord is working in us, using others, but also for the growth that he produces from that work, for ourselves and for one another. Those are just some of the things that we need to be thinking about as we thank God for all the things that he does for us. And spiritually speaking, all of that ties into the overall purpose he has for each and every one of us. And we need to be understand that purpose, and we need to follow that purpose. We need to be thankful for how God is fulfilling that in all of us, and particularly as he does use each other for that good work. Tonight is an opportunity for you if you're here and need to obey the gospel of Christ this evening. If you are ready to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we're encouraging you to come forward at this time to do that. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you need to repent or you need the prayers and encouragement of your brethren here this evening, you have the opportunity to make that known at this time. Also, anyone that needs to come forward now in response to the invitation of Christ, please do so as we stand together and sing.